selling lies and buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they warm, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, this God forgive. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see the shit, force a bear, fuck them back, that's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one leaves gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Okay, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stephens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, the best little station on the whole darn internet. I'm proud to be a host on this network. Certainly am. Today is, what do we got here? The 18th of April. And I hope everybody had a good long weekend, be it an Easter weekend or just a regular weekend, wherever you're coming from. But I hope everybody enjoyed it. Hope everybody got to visit with some people they haven't seen for a while, and I hope everybody had a good meal. And that's what it's all about. Anyways, I'm going to start tonight with something that I found on the National Post in Canada here. And it's a story about a guy who got taken to the loony bin for the psychiatric hospital. Now, I've been doing these online radio stuff a long, long time, and I remember way back when we were on Blog Talk Radio. That's hard to remember that far back, but I remember I got a call from a guy from Switzerland. And I guess we were talking about this very thing, and it was about dissidents, and he says, well, in Switzerland they just pick you up and take you away, ha 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 ha, and have you signed in the nut house, and there you are forever. So this guy's damn lucky. That's all I can say. You see, because it's all about us all having a mental illness now. In fact, the head of the Canadian Mental Health Unit or whatever here in Canada said that very thing at a TED Talk. She stood there and said, we're all mentally ill. And that's a dangerous statement. Now we know our politicians are mentally ill. We know the teachers are mentally ill. We know the preachers are mentally ill. But to say everybody's mentally ill. So now you open the door to exactly what happened to this guy. Lucky for him, the court defended him the second time, not the first time, but the second time. So this is from Newfoundland Labrador out in the east coast of Canada. Court defends political dissident after Newfoundland Labrador man sent to psychiatric hospital for criticizing a police shooting. The Court of Appeal has issued a ringing defense of political dissident in the case of a man held involuntarily at a psychiatric hospital after he sent a series of angry tweets about a police shooting. Andrew Abbas was detained and taken to the psychiatric unit at Western Memorial Hospital in Cornerbrook, Newfoundland, on April the 7th, 2015, 2 days after the fatal shooting of Don Dumphy in Mitchell's Brook, Newfoundland. Abbas had expressed anger about the death on social media, prompting Royal Newfoundland Constabulary officers to go to his home. They took him to the hospital, where two physicians completed the necessary paperwork that resulted in his involuntary admission, according to a new appeal court decision. Abbas, who has since been released, challenged his detention in provincial Supreme Court, claiming he was not suffering from mental disorder and that the doctor's certificates of involuntary admission did not cite grounds for his detention. But the judge declined jurisdiction and dismissed his application. The appeal court said the lower court should not have declined jurisdiction. Mr. Abbas felt that what the police and physicians did was without proper authority. He sought the vindication of having a Supreme Court judge affirm this, said the three-judge court, which included Justice Malcolm Rowe, who has since joined the Supreme Court of Canada. Now, this is a quote from, I guess, Justice Malcolm Rowe, he says, the courts must always be there for the vindication of the citizen with what he or she views as the wrongful exercise of authority. Mr. Abbas was denied his day in court. He should have had it. If the police can take you away once and the physicians confine you, maybe they will do so again. In his ruling, the appeal court said the first psychiatric assessment of Abbas took 19 minutes before a doctor certified a certificate of involuntary admission. The certificate noted the patient showed some signs consistent with paranoia and said he needed observation and assessment. The second certificate was completed 5 minutes later and noticed Abbas had expressed anger about the shooting. The doctor added, in order to establish Mr. Andrew Abbas' personal safety, as well as public safety, further observation and assessment is necessary in a secure facility as the least restrictive measure at this time. The appeal court, however, said that both certificates appeared to rely on secondhand facts and made no attempt to identify the mental disorder in question. It said the judge owed a duty to Abbas to look further into the circumstances of his case, which appeared to be extraordinary. If anger, this is the justice again, if anger about political events and words of defiance to authorities are dealt with as signs of mental illness warranting involuntary committal, then our society is in a dangerous place, said the justice. He goes on to say, such anger and defiance are characteristic of political dissent. As the history of authoritarian societies has taught us, confinement in a mental institution is a particularly insidious way of stifling dissent directly and through intimidation. Was this the intent of the police in this case? Did the physicians simply lend their authority to what the police asked them to do? Did they assume that a person who acts in the way Mr. Abbas did needs help and further assessment and observations without turning their minds to the specific limited statutory criteria that would justify his deprivation of liberty? The ruling also added, the reality is that if you are involuntarily confined, you are viewed differently. You are seen as less credible. That is not how it should be, but it is how it is. As well, there is the intimidation factor. If the police can take you away once and the physicians confine you, maybe they can do it a second time. The decision, excuse me, the decision did not elaborate on what Abbas allegedly said on Twitter. A police constable shot Dumfrey on Easter Sunday, 2015. Constable Joe Smith, a member of then Premier Paul Davis's security detail, has testified he shot Dumfrey 58 once in the left chest and twice in the head in self-defense after he aimed a rifle at him. Smith has said he went to Dumfrey's home to check out political comments Dumfrey had made on Twitter. Now, how sad is that? So, this Abbas guy who tweets on Twitter about the shooting of Dumfrey and ends up in the loony bin, and thankfully he got sprung. And chances are, if it hadn't been for that one justice, he'd probably still be sitting there. That's how it works. But what was he tweeting? He was tweeting about the shooting of Dumfrey. And why was Dumfrey shot? Because he was making political comments on Twitter. So Dumfrey, the guy that got shot, was making political statements on Twitter. The police go to his house and shoot him. Then Abbas gets on Twitter and starts tweeting about Dumfrey getting shot for making political statements, likely. And then they pick up Abbas and haul his ass off to the psychiatric ward. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Huh. Now, you know, we've experienced the same kind of stuff here. Nobody got shot yet, and nobody's been to the psych ward yet, but we were thrown in jail unlawfully, falsely arrested, dragged through trial, dragged through months of nonsense, and in the end, they withdrew the charges, and we still need to get them to court on that. But there was so much stuff coming at us so fast for so long, kind of knocks you off kilter a bit, because we were getting hammered from everywhere. But another case in point in Canada, right in my own backyard here, back in, I think it was 2014 maybe, they had, 2013 or 2014, they had a big meeting here, big government meeting, about the DGR, which is the Deep Underground Repository for Nuclear Waste from the nuclear waste site here, or from the nuclear plant here. The plan is they want to dig a hole right beside the shore of Lake Huron and fill it full of nuclear waste. Not too freaking bright, I might add. But so there were people that were very upset about this. We got slammed with windmills. That pissed everybody off. Then they want to come and bury nuclear waste right along the shoreline of Lake Huron, which is one of the Great Lakes, which waters an awful lot of people and an awful lot of farmland. And so obviously some people were upset about it. Those who can actually still think were upset about it. Most of the people can't think. Oh, well, I'm sure they'll prepare it properly. Well, I worked up there when they're building a nuclear plant when I was about 17, 18. And we blew the intakes out into the lake for the water intakes for the cooling system. And it is all shale. I don't know what it's like down there. I forget how deep they want to go, a half a mile or some stupid thing, but we're only blowing it down 40 feet, but it was just total shale. That's all it was. But hey, it's safe. Nothing like burying nuclear waste right beside one of the Great Lakes. It has to be safe because, while we said it's safe, we're the guys that told you global warming was real, right? So you can count on us to be telling you the truth. So the police here, this town was full of police during that. I think that thing went on, I forget how many days it went on, 4 or 5 or 10 days. And to go into the, it was held at the Legion, and to go in there, you were patted down going in. And I remember I only went there for a little bit, one day for a couple hours. And I went out for a smoke. I go to come back in, and I got to be patted down again. I mean, these so-called governments are paranoid as all get out. And the police, and there was a ton of them in this town, they were going to people's homes that had voiced a negative opinion about the idea of burying nuclear waste beside the Great Lake. And the police actually went and visited their homes in an intimidation tactic. So, you know, anybody that thinks that the police or the military, for that fact, are there to protect the men and women, you're fooling yourself. They're there to protect the corporation and their friends, who always seem to make a hell of a pile of money every time we get screwed over. And that's just the way that goes. So I'll stick this in here. I'm really glad that other justice, because, I mean, the intimidation factor is wicked. When we were in court, it was like we were in an insane asylum. The court was like an insane asylum. There was so many cops there, it was nuts. You know, and they go up, they come right up to your nose to nose and try to stare you down, and they walk around like zombies. It was nuts. It was funny. It wasn't funny from their end, but we made it funny. I asked one cop, had his nose up to mine, and I asked him, I told him he must have got a pretty good mark on staring, eh? Like, he must have been top of the class. He didn't much care for it, but what's he going to do about it? So that's that. Now, something else that popped in here. I posted that story up on the Facebook, and somebody put a story in after that. What have we got here? Is this somebody? Well, this is somebody's comment on something else I put up there, and it says, if anybody tries to defend Canada, they will be thrown in jail. They will say you are interfering in a police matter. Now, was another post that I put up, and what it was the story on that one had nothing to do with police, but I thought it was kind of cute, because the farmers in Quebec, I guess, they hire what they call professional scarecrows to go around and shoot blanks in the air to scare the geese away, because they come in and mess up the fields awful bad. So it says that the title of this story is Professional Scarecrows Watch Over Quebec's Fields as Spring Migration Begins. Well, I thought that's okay, because we're getting ready for the spring migration of migrants and asylum seekers and all Muslims, of course. So I thought, well, okay, well, it's before the migration starts. So Professional Scarecrows Watch Over Quebec's Fields. So I just put this in. Simply replace fields with borders and geese with illegal migrants and asylum seekers, and you got the right story. The police are acting as paid welcoming committee. Well, they are. You can't cross here. Oh, well, welcome aboard. If the police and military won't stop the invasion, then the people must. Simple as that. So somebody left a comment down here that if you try to stop the migrants or interfere with the police, then they will just have you thrown in um, thrown in jail or the psych ward. But the one ahead, see, this is the problem. This I'm going to just stick here for a second. Here's two comments. One's from Deidre, which is obviously a woman. And the other one is from Bernie, which is obviously a guy. Well, normally. We'll just run with it, that it's a male and a female. And this is what bothers me about this whole scrap. I find the women have their heads screwed on a whole lot straighter than most of the guys. I'm still trying to put a finger on that, and I guess it's because they're the ones that they're the housekeepers, they're the ones that keep, but where are the guys are supposed to be the roosters, and they're supposed to guard the house, and your country is your house. And the job of the rooster is to protect the ladies and the chicks. But it seems it's the ladies that are being a lot more aggressive. That's because the rooster's nuts fell off or something. So here's a comment from Deidre. Outnumber the cops at the border. Video everything. We as Canadians have the right to protect our country, and that includes getting rid of the anti-Christ prime minister that we have. And that's from a woman. And from Bernie, who's a man with a cowboy hat on, no less. He's tough. What does Bernie say? Let me look at this here. Deidre Hall looks like a woman, probably, I'm going to say late 40s to mid 50s. And Bernie looks like a guy who's probably 65, 70, 72. He's got a blue jean shirt on and a cowboy hat. What does Bernie say? If anybody tries to defend Canada, they will be thrown in jail. They will say you're interfering in a police matter. Way to go, Bernie. Way to go, Bernie. Oh, I get to say that again. Bernie, Bernie, Bernie. That is pathetic, Bernie. I got to read Deidre's post. But this is what I'm finding. I'm finding that the ladies are much more aggressive. There's somebody posted this flyer on here, or I guess it's a mem or whatever you call it. But it says it's the million. And this is a woman that sent that to me, and she's from Alberta, I think. And it's basically set up by the ladies. Ottawa Parliament Buildings, June the 3rd, 11 a.m. to Sunday, June the 4th, 4 p.m. Million Canadians march, freedom in our nationality. We will not be quelled. Stop Motion 103, which is we can't say anything bad about a Muslim, calling for the Governor General to remove Justin Tinkerbell Trudeau from office for endangering Canadians and the future of our nation. I think that was mostly put together by the ladies. So, guys, it's kind of like time to step up to the plate. It really, truly is. It's time to step up to the plate. I've been watching this pretty close. The difference in messages or comments, and it seems the ladies are somewhat more aggressive. Not somewhat, a whole hell of a lot more aggressive than the guys. Now, here's another story that somebody had popped into the story I just read about the psychiatric ward, and they pumped this in as a comment, and this is from the Maine Republic email alert. This is breaking. Supreme Court ruling no Islam in public schools. The full panel of 9 Supreme Court justices met to decide the fate of Islam taught in public schools under Obama's lead. Schools were teaching that Islam is a peaceful religion, even though all of our real life examples contradict that. Judge Neil Gorsuch cast the tie-breaking vote. The 5-4 ruling was that the only part of Islam history taught in public schools will be radical Islam and what students can do to help stop it. The judge wrote, "The government certainly has no business being involved in religion, but this isn't a government issue or a religious issue. This is about the judicial branch interpreting the laws as they apply to the teaching of religion. We should not be teaching any religion in this country besides standard Judeo-Christianity as our founders wanted, excuse me, and we certainly shouldn't be filling the children with lies about Islam being a religion of peace when they see the carnage on the news almost every day." So that's what it says, and which gives me reason to wonder what's going on here, because I know Trump is pro-Israeli, and that's bad news. I know he hasn't kicked the United Nations off American soil yet. That's bad news. But what's really bad news is that, as I was saying about the spring migration of geese in that one story, which I changed around a little bit, we're going to have a massive spring migration come from the south border into our nation. Because if they can't teach Islam in the schools, and our schools are tripping over themselves, wanting to teach Islam, and very, 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 very early, very graphic sex education to extremely young children, I suppose that might be in part getting them ready to become child brides for the Muslims. But, you know, we're going to get hammered up here. So I'm surprised, because I saw what the border guards are doing on the American side of the border, and it's really quite pathetic. You know, they pulled the van over, a taxi, which was full of Muslims, and said to the taxi driver, "What do you got there?" "Well, these guys want to cross." Well, they should really go around. You know, they have to go to a regular border crossing, of which this isn't one. This is a dead-end road with a drainage ditch with a 3 RCMP stand on the other side of it. And so the Border Patrol, the American Border Patrol, tells the driver this and then says, okay. And the van just carries on down the road another few hundred feet. And then the Muslims all get out. But the border guards on the American side didn't do nothing about it. So we have the RCMP welcoming on this side of the border, and the Border Patrol on the American side not doing their job. So there's something very, very wrong with this picture. And you know, all nation states are member states of the United Nations. Canada is. And we are specifically obligated to allow anyone into our countries. Now, I haven't had a chance to check out if there's any linkage between Donald Trump and George Soros yet, but there's a definite link between George Soros and the Canadian government, because the Canadian government has hooked up with the United Nations refugee program, and open societies, which is George Soros, to bring the Muslims in. So I'm not sure if there's a connection. I'll have to look that up. If somebody else can look it up. If there's a connection over to the administration of Trump's or not, but something is really stinking bad here, and we need to get our borders shut down, because we may even end up with Rosie O'Donnell cross. Maybe she'll be the taxi driver, right? Maybe Rosie O'Donnell will run a taxi cab up to the border for the Muslims. That's a possibility. Now, there's something else I found out last night, but I'm probably going to do that show on, they'll do it Sunday. We're going to legalize weed here, and the greenhouses up the road from me here, which used to grow tomatoes and stuff, and then they were shut down. Apparently, they're working on them again, and apparently we may have one of the largest grow ops in North America by the time they're done up there. So the whole thing, there was a story about Trudeau not being able to legalize weed because weed is still classed in the United Nations, by the United Nations, as a class one drug. And therefore, you can't legalize it. So there was all this story about that, and then Trudeau's all of a sudden going to legalize it. Now, you never want anything legalized because that means you don't have any control over it. But we had all these same people, the Occupy people, all of those kind of people, we're all Soros funded, pushing, you know, we want weed legalized, right? You know, it's a health food, it's a, you know, it kills cancer and all this kind of stuff. Fine, then grow some of it. But the last thing you want is it legalized, because now you just handed them a monopoly. So I went and read a document last night. If I can find it, is this it? I read it. That's the Mental Health Action Plan for 2013 to 2020. I'm able to throw that in the chat too. Maybe somebody will want to look through that. It's all United Nations junk, right? And it's all nasty because it's all international law, and it supersedes your law, and where is that? Because I'd like everybody. Oh, that's another mental health thing. Where in the hell did I put that? Anyways, it's a publication about weed. And it is a publication regarding, because it is still classed. It was classed as a class one drug back in 1935, I believe, and it has never been changed out since. And that's about pasteurization. I got so much stuff open here. You know, I wish people would read more. That's what I would wish. I mean, what I've got, these things here about pasteurization and that, these documents that I have in front of me here now are all from the 1930s. Where the heck did that go? Let me boot it down here somewhere. It's quite important. Anyways, the gist of it, while I'm looking for it, and I may or may not find it, is that the United Nations, you got to understand how they operate, for one, and they put legs out all over the place, and then they work their deal, and Rockefeller. It's Israel in the UN. That ain't it. Here's an interesting little read. I'll throw this in while I'm looking for the other. This is actually a pretty interesting little read. And it's called Monkey Planet. It's only 58 pages long. And this is the... and it's illustrated, no less. But it's quite the thought-provoking little book. I can't really call it a book. It's 58 pages. But this is what the first Planet of the Apes was made from. And it's actually pretty damned interesting. There's a lot of things that are different from the Planet of the Apes, which makes this pretty interesting. And if you think about what you're reading, it may open your eyes up to basically where we're at and what we've been turned into, because they refer to us as humans, not men. It's a good little read. It's 58 pages. I think if you read it, you'll have fun with it, and you'll enjoy it, and hopefully you will have some different thoughts on things. Now, where in the heck? Mental health briefing. I hope I didn't lose this, because I really need it. I need that document. Is this it? Nope. Where the hell did it go? Damn it. God, I hope it didn't close it out. Anyways, the document really quickly is it tells the history of weed, again, this is where all this stuff comes from. It was classed as a category one drug back in 35. I believe it was 35, or I'm pretty sure it was 35. And who did that? The League of Nations. Okay, the League of Nations. So it was already classified internationally through the League of Nations way back, long before, a good 10 years before the United Nations showed up. So it's a paper... it's a paper about weed, and who's funding it? Who's funding this document and the research attached to it? George Soros and Johnson & Johnson and the Bayer Company. Because they're setting this up again so they control it, make tons of money on it, they tell the government they're going to make the taxes on it. Problem, reaction, solution. One more freaking time. And who's going to lose? Well, you're going to lose. Because now they've tightened up all the rules for impaired driving, or they're in the process of it, where you'll be forced to give your DNA, where you won't even have to smell like you had a drink in order for them to incarcerate you, and so on and so forth. And you got the people like Soros. Now, Soros is also involved in the Open Border Society, and is actually, his Open Society foundations are actually partnered with the freaking government of Canada and the United Nations to make sure that the Muslims can get into the country. Now, I'm also starting to think that this weed thing that these guys are pushing might just have another purpose to it. Now, Soros is a Jew, and he don't care about Jews. He's a Jew, but he don't care about them. And actually work with the Nazi regime against the Jews. But then the whole World War II is a mess anyways, history-wise. But that's his story. And that he didn't care because he has no moral character. He's an amoral son of a bitch. And so he doesn't care about any country. I mean, he destroyed the Philippines and filled that up full of Muslims. So we know what he's about. So why is he in the weed, right? And I'm starting to think that a lot of people don't smoke weed. And I don't think it's going to go up that much. But, you know, I'm starting to feel that weed has some of the same characteristics, basically, as fluoride. And that's to basically make you non-aggressive. And I got a bad feeling that this is something that has to do with this weed program that's being shuffled around here. But, so anyways, Trudeau is going to give the middle finger to the United Nations, as what people say, because by international law and being a member state of the United Nations, we can't legalize weed. Okay, so I think California's done, Oregon's done, a few other places have done it, and now the guy who is in charge of this is from Ecuador, maybe somewhere down south there, anyways, and. So he's kind of in charge of this weed thing now, and he legalized it in his country. So we know it's set up to be legalized, but so we have Soros and all the companies in the background, right, working with the governments. And then you got the NGOs down on the ground. Legalize weed, legalize weed, legalize weed. Well, you ain't going to get what you want. They're going to legalize it. In that document at the end, it says the UN will be hot on it in 2018. So it's being all set up. And people think that oh, I'm going to kick myself if I lost that. Anyways, it's the old story, is problem, reaction, solution. And damn. Scratching my head thinking where I may have posted it or give it to somebody or something, send it to somebody. I don't think I did. But anyways, I will dig it up again and get it, because I want to do a show on it. What I was really looking for is just to read the last of the last part of that, because it's all written in UN lingo, which is a lot of people find difficult to read because it contradicts itself constantly. And they do that on purpose, so you just throw your hands up and go, what the hell are you even yapping about here? And then forget about it. And that's what they really like. But all of this stuff, because I want to go back to 35 and find out why, exactly why they banned it in the first place and made it a class one drug. Now, we know that was to shut down hemp. And I think it had some, I read long, long time ago that it had something to do with, also had something to do with, cotton. It's all about getting control, right? You get control of a market. You get a monopoly on that market. That's what these guys live by. And we have to kick them out. You know, we find that this is all health. I don't know what the hell happened here. Because I really wanted to get that in here today so people can read it and understand it. And understand that all these people, if you're one of these people who've been running around going, yeah, legalize weed, man, well, you just been had again. You know, I never from the get-go had no use when everybody was running around yapping off about I wonder if it's back in here. Yapping off about legalizing, you know, it's just none of these things, you know, all of these things look to people like that it's spontaneous, or it's been brewing for a long time. It's all set up. These guys, all of this stuff is set up so that, it looks like it's coming from the ground, right? But it's not coming from the ground. It's coming out of these NGOs. And the NGOs are all agents of the ones who are trying to get the monopoly on whatever it is they're trying to get the monopoly on. So, you know, you've got to pay a whole lot closer attention to what's going on than, I guess I'm not going to get that tonight. Because I can't find it, so I must have don't think I shut it down. I might open something up on top of it, is what I'm thinking. And then, have to back up somewhere. But anyways, it doesn't matter. We'll do that down the road. But it is important that, everybody read that so they get a full understanding of what's going on. Because once you have the understanding of how this works, then you can't get suckered anymore. Right? You just can't get suckered anymore, because every time something pops up, you can be on it like so fast. It'll blow your mind. I mean, it's that quick. You can the research gets so fast. And you can alert other people. You know, this weed thing's been going on for legalized weed has like been going on for so freaking long, it's nuts. Just as they get all their stuff in place, get all their players in place, you know, and a stakeholder. I always say the stakeholders. Well, who are the stakeholders? You? Me? No. The gamblers. That's what a stakeholder is, a gambler. Just like Soros gambled on the Philippines and crushed the place. And they're gambling on our nations now, and they intend to crush us. You know, they say the public and the stakeholders. Well, the government only deals with the stakeholders because there's something in it for them. The stakeholders do the manipulation in that so that the so-called government can get a cut of the action. Did the same thing with alcohol. Exactly the same thing with alcohol. I seen an article where back in the, I think it was the late 20s, early 30s, somewhere in there, they actually poisoned. It was the government that was poisoning the liquor, because they need the people to be afraid. And then, the government says we need to legislate this so that it's safe. Did the same thing with raw milk. They knew exactly where the sickness was coming from, and it was coming from the mashing out of the breweries being fed to the cows in the most unsanitary conditions possible. They never attempt to clean them up. And a whole gutload of people got sick in Chicago, Toronto, Montreal, and New York. And it was all because of the milk that was being produced by the cows beside the breweries. Now, they all knew that. The Rockefellers knew it. The Fords knew it. The Carnegies knew it. They want to get control. Now, once all these people are sick, all these people are poisoned from the poisoned liquor, or sick and dying from the bad milk, then we need to, for your safety, of course, legislate some kind of a system where we, the government, will make it safe for you. And then they take the monopoly on it. And now they're getting the monopoly on weed. And, you know, I thought when I was looking at this, you know, it's been quite a while since this got going, like I said. But, I mean, when I was young, we smoked, we smoked a lot of wheat. And we did a lot of hash. And we did a lot of shrooms. All that good stuff when you're young. And, you know, our town actually was called Little Detroit for a while. There's so many people come from Detroit area up here in the summertime. We're just a couple, you know, 3 hours up the road. There was so much dope coming in here and then being distributed from here down to London, Ontario, and Kitchener and that, because there were so many people from London and Kitchener who used to spend the summer up here. So, worked out quite well for everybody. And talk about irony, somebody had planted 7 acres of weed up the road here between here and the greenhouses, where the greenhouses are going to be major pot grower, corporate though. But back when I was about, I don't know, 16, 17, I remember somebody planted 7 acres along one road. And it was a well-traveled road, but there was a line of cedar bush up to the road. And so I remember when that was discovered, you know, we had more police than you know what to do with, and they're in there chopping the weed down, and then they're burning it and whatnot, because it's illegal. It's a class one drug. You'll be crazy, and you'll rape people, and all this kind of nonsense. And now, this many years later, they're building greenhouses. They're going to build greenhouses, expand the greenhouses like it's going out of style, so that the corporate boys can grow the weed and make a fortune. And then the taxes, and then all the tickets and stuff, and all the mental illness health care that the people are going to be paying for. It's absolutely ludicrous. You know, everything that was good for us, they take away from us. You know, unpasteurized food, unpasteurized milk, unpasteurized cheese is ace bloody healthy for you. But they took it away. Weed ain't never hurt nobody. And you couldn't grow it before because you get thrown in jail. If you grow it now, you're still going to get thrown in jail because it's contraband. It's not government weed. So I will look up that, I'll find that again. That ticks me off. I will find it, and we'll do a fairly long deal on it on probably Sunday. It's very important people understand this. And if they don't understand it, they need to understand it, because we're never going to get nothing straightened out. If people are just looking at the surface, which is the politics, you know. When Obama was in there, the left was happy, the right was unhappy. Now Trump's in, the right's happy, the left's unhappy. It's a nation divided. A nation divided cannot survive. So we'll leave you with that, and continue to be dissidents. You know, do not bow down to these clowns for love nor money. Do not bow down to them ever. If you do bow down to them, then you lose. And what I put in here was, always say what you mean what you say. If someone is offended, they can walk away. Do not bow down or live in fear. Ever. World War III is upon us, a spiritual psychological war. We require men and women of strong spirit, mind, and spine. We have a duty to our forefathers, children, grandchildren, those not yet born. Don't let them down. Walk tall and fear not. I hear music. That's the end of the show. Selling lies and everybody have killing a grand people that should lie. Lower classes, social slime. They don't lie. Genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back. It's only for the bomb. They shoot, they kill, they mass are cold.